Well, if you have your copy of God's Word, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. That's where we'll be this morning, Ephesians 3. And if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? And Paul writes, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the writings of the apostle as he speaks to us today. We pray your Holy Spirit's guidance and wisdom on each and every aspect of our lives, and especially during this time, Father, that you would speak to us and enable us, Father, to hear from you. It's not about what I have to say today, Father. It's what the Holy Spirit desires to speak through me and to each and every one of us, that you would draw us closer to Jesus and make us more like him. Bless this time and use it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Paul is kind of laying out something here as a reminder, something that he has experienced in his life and his walk. And I don't know, and you've heard me say this before, and you'll hear me say it probably many more times after this, I'm extremely grateful for the Apostle Paul and the ministry to which he was called. Because of that ministry, I got to hear the gospel. Because initially when the gospel message was started out, it was pretty much in Palestine and it was pretty much a Jewish thing. That's pretty much what was going on. And they had this big council as to whether or not they would allow non-Jews, Gentiles, to be followers of Christ unless they were to participate in some of the Jewish rituals like circumcision and other things that would make them a real Christian, if that makes sense. And so there was this big council. Paul was a part of it and other leaders as they argued about various things. And they came to the realization through the Word of God and the divine wisdom of the Holy Spirit as it spoke to them that it's really not about the outward rituals that we often find ourselves involved in. It's all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that both Gentile and Jew come to Christ alone, Christ alone. It's all about Jesus. It's not about other stuff. And I'm thankful for that. And Paul really felt that his calling, if you remember back to when he was converted on the road to Damascus and he was on his way to persecute, he was told by Jesus that he would do this, that his mission was to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, understanding Paul as being a very, firm Jew who looked at Gentiles in a way that was probably not overly flattering, is that okay to say? He was given that specific call. And I'm grateful that God put that call in his life, and I'm very grateful also that he answered that call and was very faithful and adamant about pursuing the call that God had placed in his life. And that's really what he's kind of reflecting on as he looks in this text in Ephesians. And I think this is a great way to kind of prepare our hearts as we look ahead to Easter here in it's 2 weeks. Did you realize that? 2 weeks is Easter. Let that sink in for a moment. Easter is, that's our big day, okay? That's the day we celebrate because that's the day where everything that we believe about our Savior is affirmed by what our Savior accomplished and by what our Lord did when he resurrected him from the dead. It's why we worship on Sundays. It's everything about our faith. It's why we serve a risen Savior. It's why we do all those things that we know. It's all about Jesus and all about what he accomplished and his resurrection on that Sunday. So I pray that God would use that to begin to stir you and encourage you. If you have friends or family members that you want to encourage to come to church, surely they can make it once a year. I mean, some Baptists, that's the only time they go to church is Easter. So anyway, we'll try and encourage them. We want to encourage you to really just encourage them to be a part of what God's going to do that Sunday. And also, it's an opportunity for you to share that message. And I think Paul had that message. And I think Paul always had a sense of unworthiness about him. It seems that very apparent in his writings. You know, a lot of people like to describe him as arrogant. I don't see that in him at all. I know he was very, understood a lot of things, very knowledgeable man, but he also is one who understood what he was before he became a follower of Christ. I don't think that ever escaped his notice. And with that, there was a sense of humility, knowing that it was because of God's grace, because of what God did, that God delivered him and made him a missionary of the gospel. And that missionary was going to be to a group of people that he probably didn't have a lot of use for as a stalwart Jew, but it was the people that God had called him to take the gospel to. And people like you and me, those of us who are not Jewish, but come from the various other ethnic groups in the world. It's interesting how the Jews had two classes of people, didn't they? The Jews and Gentiles. And there was an old prayer from some of the Pharisees. They used to say that, God, I thank you that I was not born a woman or a Gentile. That's the way they looked at it. They really didn't care for the Gentiles. And there was a lot of that understanding in the Jewish culture that also infiltrated itself in the early church that Paul found himself fighting against. And I'm grateful that he stayed the course of what God had told him to do, to remove that wall of separation that some wanted to put up for the gospel. Because Christ Jesus came that all who believe on him should experience the salvation that comes through him and him alone, regardless of their race, regardless of their culture, regardless of where they were. And that same truth is true today, is it not? We are not, this gospel is not the gospel of America. It's the gospel of the world. That's right. It's for everybody, that everyone would experience the good news of Jesus Christ and all that he has for us, that we would have that opportunity to share with whomever God brings our way in whatever circumstance takes place that he provides for us. Because God is at work in each and every one of our lives, isn't he? You see it at different times in your life. You think the people that you meet, and you've heard me say this before, are just accidents. But no, they are people that God places in your path, in my path. And my hope and prayer for each of us is that when people see us, much like the song that was sang just a few moments ago, that they don't see us, they see Christ. There was an old hymn we used to sing. Remember the hymn, "Let Others See Jesus in You"? Anybody remember that? Yeah. That's really the heart of the message of the song you just sang a while ago, that was saying the praise team has been leading you and trying to teach you. It's the same message, just a little bit different, but that idea that Christ in you is apparent, that when people see you, it's not about you. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's about his work in your life. Him flowing through, him shining through your life, him radiating the world around it with his love and his grace and his power, that people see you and you become literally a vessel of his glory and his purposes. Because see, the gospel, the work of the gospel is 99.9999 up to infinity beyond percent God. The only part that we have in the gospel is our confession. That's it. Our trust in Jesus. That's all the work that we do. Our Savior does all the work. He makes it possible for us. He makes salvation and deliverance for us possible by his work and his grace and all that he did on the cross that we'll be talking about in the next few weeks, but also what he celebrates through the resurrection reminds us of the power of God at work now in us. And we are now vessels of his glory. We are now people who share the good news. And Paul saw himself as one who was simply one who was sharing the good news and letting others see Christ in him and letting them experience who Jesus is. Because when Jesus saved you, Jesus didn't just save you to save you and then take you home. Although that'd be all right, wouldn't it? Get saved, go to heaven, right? Well, a lot of people want to go to heaven, but not everybody wants to die. That's another, right? And so we're not ready for that yet. But God leaves us here because he has a purpose for us. Now, there is a cult. I don't know if you're familiar with the cult of Hare Krishna. You ever heard of it? Kind of a weird group of individuals. You might encounter them at airports. They used to come when I lived in Sudeh. We had a state fair, and I noticed a couple times they decided to come to the state fair. And some friends of mine were out walking around, you know, a bunch of high school students doing our thing, what we do, you know, bored out of our gourds, we're walking around the fairgrounds. And we encounter this guy, and he starts talking to us. And he's got this hat on, and I didn't think about the hat, because underneath the hat, you know, if you've ever seen a Hare Krishna, they have one strand of hair, right? Not strand, but I guess one glop of hair. And I'm told that's so that their God can snatch them up, I guess. That would hurt, but whatever. But I don't get it. But their idea and belief is that, you know, that's going to happen. They're going to be delivered one day. And it's really not about this life. And a lot of Christians have this mindset that it's all about what happens for me in eternity. It doesn't matter what I do with my life. And yet the life that God gives you is to bring him glory. It's so that others come to know of God's saving grace because of your life and your testimony. I would dare say that everybody in this room is here because someone else shared with us. Someone else took the time to share the good news of Jesus Christ with us. They shared God's love in a variety of forms and ways. We could have a lot of stories if we went across this room today. But it's because of their willingness to take the time to be a vessel of God's purposes and God's glory that you and I are here today. And we have experienced the good news of Jesus Christ because of their willingness to be used by him, as Paul was used by him. And I noticed there, if you kind of caught something in a verse, I kind of want to camp out in verse. Paul, the way he views himself, to me, the very least of all saints. Now, when I think of the Apostle Paul, I don't think of the least. Do you? I mean, this is a guy that wrote a large portion of the New Testament. This is a guy that was the first missionary of the gospel of Jesus Christ that went all across Asia Minor, taking the gospel to places that a lot of people didn't even know existed at that time, being faithful in that call, suffering in many ways for the cause of Christ. I don't think of him as the least of the saints, and yet he sees himself that way. Because he realizes that in his heart of hearts, it's not about him, it's about Jesus. It's about being used by him to share the good news, to take the good news to people who haven't heard yet. And that's really the calling for every follower of Christ. Not just pastors, deacons, and Sunday school teachers. All of us. All of us are vessels of God's glory. All of us are taking the good news of Christ to other people as we have opportunity. As God opens those doors and those moments that you have where you kind of, you know, you're kind of in that situation, whether at work or school or somewhere, and it kind of happens that situation and the conversation turns spiritual and you didn't expect it. Does that ever happen to you? I hope it does. Pray for those moments. Those are divine appointments where God is beginning to open the door. I've had some encounters with some of the guys that I play ball with up in Walkersville. It's been kind of fun. I'm the young guy when I play with them. I like these guys. It's the 50 and over club. We're not even in the Parks and Rec. We're in the senior adult services group or something. I don't know, for Frederick County. Great folks. And, you know, when you play with a guy, you know, it really humbles you when you play with a guy who's 72 and he puts one in your face and, you know, that just kind of humbles you a little bit. And I've had that happen. A guy named Harry, good guy. He's just a different kind of guy. He can only go about 30 steps because of a bad leg. He was in Vietnam and he was wounded. And I mean, so, but he still plays every week. And I love these guys. They're just different. And I've kind of been promoted to their honorary. They know what I do for a living because I tell them. And I've had some interesting conversations with some of these guys that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So pray for me as I have that opportunity with these gentlemen. I have some other guys to play with them, but it's just interesting how God does that. Have you noticed that in your own life? It's hard for me because I work at a church to find a lot of people around the church during the week that are lost, right? Does that make sense? I hope it does. You know, I see John Tripp about every other day. He's here all the time, you know, but I don't see a lot of other people, do we, John? They're not, you know, it's just us here and Sarah. There's just not very many people come in. So I look for those opportunities. So pray for me, and I pray for you as you have those opportunities every day of every opportunity God brings your way. Because those aren't accidents. That's God at work in your life. And he's bringing people your way, and he's going to use you in a lot. Think about that. God lets us join him in this everlasting, eternal mission, this worldwide, global mission that he has to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he lets you and I have a part in it as he brings people our way. And we share with that person. And it may start very simply. And I'm going to give you some stuff here at the end to give you some ideas to do that in the days ahead. But we'll get to that in just a moment. I want us to kind of continue. I love what Paul says here when he says his goal was to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Have you ever thought about the depths of the gospel? I know people say, well, I've heard the gospel before. I've got it. No, you haven't. Because when you think you've got it, more of it unfolds. The beauty of what our Savior has done for us, what that means to us, all as you begin to let that unfold in your life, as you continue to walk in and grow in your walk with him and experience what he does in you, it just begins to, it's hard. You think you've found out everything and then there's more. It's indescribable. It's unbelievable. It's eternal. It's just because what God accomplishes in your life when he makes you a child of God is this incredibly divine work where he takes this person who was a rebel and hater of him and turns him into his child. the amazing work of Jesus Christ, the salvation that he gives us, the power of the Holy Spirit, and changes us. And now we are not only an ally, we're a family member. Have you thought about that lately? You know, we sing the song Friends of God, and it's nice, but you become a member of God's family when you are saved. And you've heard, that's Jesus is your brother now. You want to think about that for a moment? Does that blow anybody else's mind? I'm not saying anything that's unscriptural. That's what the Bible teaches. You're a part of God's, you're his child. That's what he does for you. He makes you, and now he gives you the opportunity as his child to now serve him and honor him, and that others can see what he does in your life and give him the glory. That's the purpose of living in this world. That's why we're still here. That's why when he saves us, he doesn't just take us home. He has a purpose and a plan for your life, a desire to use you in a way that only he can to make a difference in the world in which we live. And what a beautiful testimony your life can become as he takes and does all these things. And I love how Paul just kind of expounds on the gospel of what it does. He says, this is something that the administration of the mystery, which for ages was hidden in God who created all things, so the manifold wisdom of God might be known, made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. God has had the plan of salvation all along. Before the creation of the universe, God had a plan. Created everything, made Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. They had the absolute perfect setup. Didn't have to work. All the food they ever needed. Perfect weather. Everything was great. Nothing to complain about, right? And it was like, anybody remember Dr. Doolittle? You didn't see that coming? How did you not know that was coming? They were with the animals. It was like friends, you know. They were friends with the lions and the bears. Everything was fine in the garden. It was just wonderful. You know, nothing like out of some crazy horror flick. It was just great. They were all together. And then they got this crazy idea, didn't they? Somebody told them that something was missing in their life. It was perfect. So anytime you tell, and I hear people say all the time, you know, I would follow Jesus if this was true in my life, if I had this job, or if I was married to this guy or this girl, if everything was this way, and they list 14 things they think that if these things would work out, I would follow God more faithfully. And that's not true, is it? We say that, but it's not really true. Because we had it perfect and we still blew it. And we could say, well, if I were that, no, it wouldn't matter. If it were me or you or Adam or Eve, it doesn't really matter. If any one of us, we're going to all do the same thing. We're going to blow it. There's a flaw in us, and we blow it. We can't stand it. We want the glory, not God. And that changed everything. But do you think that surprised God? I love that in Genesis where it says that God was walking through the garden in the cool of the day, and he was hollering. He was looking for him. Hey, Adam, Eve, where you at? Don't you think he knew where they were? Yeah, he knew exactly where they were. But why was he? See, he was looking. It was for their benefit. Hey, come on out. I want to talk. Oh, we can't come out, Lord. Why not? Come on. We always talk. Well, we're naked. Duh. Yeah. And then that's where it starts, right? You can look at it in Genesis if you think I'm making this up, okay? It's in there. And that began a whole conversation where they were exposed, literally, for what they had done. And they began to realize, and they got cast out, and everything was ruined at that point. But it looked like everything was over. But all along, God had a plan. The plan was always there. It was always there. Before he made it, it was there. The plan of redemption was in place because he knew we would fall. He knew we would rebel. He knows that about us. That's just the way we are. He gave us this free will thing, and we struggle with it and have been struggling with it ever since. We like to make our own decisions, and I tend, like some of you, maybe nobody else struggles with it, but sometimes I make the wrong decision. Anybody else do that? You know, I make a bad choice here and there, probably more often than I should. And we do that, and yet God knows that, and God desires to redeem us, and he wants us to be a part of his family. He does all of these things, and that is what Paul is laying at. That's the plan that God has for you. And now he includes you in his plan, his rescue mission, the redemption that he has for the world as which we know, everything that he's got, he does that for you. Because he loves you. And the days ahead, that's what we'll celebrate. Next week is Palm Sunday, right? Did you know that? And that was when Jesus came into Jerusalem and they had a big party and they were all excited. And you know, we'll get into that because that's next week. Well, what happens on Friday of that week? They crucify him. The darkest days in human history. And yet in the middle of that is where God wins the victory. Where Jesus accomplishes everything he came to. You see, Jesus accomplished his mission 100%. He did it all. He did everything he was commanded to do and expected to do. He lived a sinless life. He healed. He did all these amazing things. And then he did exactly, came and did exactly what God told him to do and the Father told him to do, and that was to die on a cross to save humanity. That's why when he's on the cross, right, what are the last words that Jesus says before he dies? It is finished. And he's not talking about his life. Yeah, he's about to breathe his last. Yeah, he's done. He's spent. He's endured more than any human being should have to, because it wasn't just a physical, it's a spiritual. He has become sin. All the sin that has ever been committed in humanity is laid upon him in that moment. And God the Father turns his back on him. We've seen it. It's in Scripture. It's what it talks about. And he did that out of obedience to the Father and love for us. And in that moment, it is finished. Everything that Christ came, our Savior came to do, is done. Everything. Nothing else needs to happen. But Sunday's coming. Did you know that? On that Friday, Sunday's coming. Because God's like that. He does everything that needs to be done, but then he's always got something left to show us, doesn't he? He wants to show us the other side of what he wants to do in and through us. And now, as a child of God, as a vessel for his glory, God uses you and unfolds his work in your life so that others can see Christ work in you. That's why you're still here. And it takes its shape in a variety of forms, and sometimes we don't fully grasp it, and sometimes we don't even understand it till years later. And that's okay, because God knows what he's doing with your life. Did you know that? You are not an accident. You're not someone that just showed up on the scene and thought, oh, well, I guess I can fix this one. It's not a repair job. He's not just fixing you up. He's not dusting you off and cleaning up, you know, and giving you a new outfit. He is completely remaking you to a brand new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are what? A fix-up model, right? A repair job. No, they are a new creation. What part of new in creation do we not understand what God has done in our lives? He has completely transformed us from within. It is a work that only he can do. He has completely remade us, and we are made now 100% pure, 100% changed to be the children of God he's called us to become. Does that mean we live like it after that? Unfortunately, no, we don't. Because we get stuck with all our old habits and thoughts and thinking, well, you know, that's just the way I've always been, and that's what I've been. Since I've always been that way, that's what I'm going to be. And he's trying to deliver us from that. And that's what this whole walk in Christ is about. This whole idea of being a vessel for his glory, to be used for him so that God can take your life and do something in your life that would start to mess with your mind if you ever really began to see it. Here, thought for a moment, you know, I talked a little bit about what your salvation process was like, how it worked in your life. Think for a moment about before you became a Christian, for those of you that were a Christian, the things that God began to do in your life, the people he brought your way, the situations, all the different things that happened that ended up pointing you towards Jesus, and you finally one day said, okay, I give up, God, you win. I'm yours. You remember that? Sometimes I think we forget that. I don't think Paul ever forgot that. I think he always remembered how far away he had strayed from God's purpose for his life. And then he met Jesus and it changed everything. Because when you meet Jesus, you will not walk away the same person. You'll either reject him or you'll say, okay, my Lord and my God, as Thomas says. One way or another, you will understand because of who he is, his presence changes everything. And my role and your role as followers of Jesus Christ is not necessarily a better presentation. It's not trying to make Jesus look acceptable. Our role is just simply to introduce people to Jesus and let him do the work. Did you know that? It's not about closing the deal. It's about being faithful, telling others who Christ is. And you know, one of the simplest ways to do that is just to share what he's done in your life, isn't it? Every one of us, if you're a Christian, you've got a testimony, right? Of how you came to know the Lord, of what God did in your life. And you can share that. And the shorter you can share it, the better off it is. They don't need the four-hour version, okay? They don't need the Lord of the Rings version. That's my joke. You'll get it later. If you don't know, I'll tell you what that means. They just need to know what he's done in your life in a simple way. And then let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us to God. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us see our sin. It's the Holy Spirit that does all that work. And then after we become a follower of Christ, then the Holy Spirit indwells us and begins to change us. And that's why you can begin to see scripture that you used to look at and it looked like it was, ugh. And now it suddenly makes sense to you, doesn't it? Does that ever happen to anybody? I hope so. Anybody awake out there yet? Or y'all should be awake. This is later, right? This isn't the 8:30 service. Okay, wake up. No excuse. I want to give you some thoughts, some things I found in an article the other day. That's scary. Pastor found an article. Uh-oh. But I thought it was really helpful as we get ready to approach this time of the year. I want to think of you to look at 11 ways to be the church to people who don't go to church. Does anybody know anybody that doesn't go to church? All of us do. All of us do. These are just some ways that you can show Christ's love, demonstrate what God does. Simple, I didn't come up with this. The person did very simple things. Pray for them. Pray for others. Seen God do amazing things in the life of people who were far from God as I prayed for them, and you have too. Just pray for them. Let God do what he does. Build relationships with people with no strings attached. Don't initiate a relationship with someone saying, I'm going to convert them to Christianity. That's the wrong motivation. Not that that's unhealthy, but just build a relationship with them. They're not a notch in the gun. They're not a target. They're a person. Love them. Get to know them. And let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. Does that make sense? Another thing that this gentleman mentions in the article, he says, play the long game. Realize that you may be in this for a while. It may not happen overnight. Some people may take years to come around. Many of you know this. You've got family members, friends that have done that. It's been years. Live a life of integrity. Because you know what speaks louder to people than your words? Your life. That's what makes the difference. I mean, for me, in my walk, as I think about that, for me, as a child coming to Christ, one of the things that helped me a lot was seeing the life of my parents and as they grew in their faith. And my dad was saved shortly before I came onto the scene. He was saved as an adult. Mother, much earlier. But to see their life made a difference in my life. And your life of integrity, the way you live, the way you conduct yourself, the love that you show makes a difference. It doesn't mean you're perfect. That's not what I'm saying, because none of us are perfect. We're all going to mess up. Right? It happens. And that's okay. Try to live a life that honors him, that points to him, that strengthens the witness. Another aspect, number five, talk about your life. Not just church, but your life. Do you realize that everybody has stuff? Did you know that? Everybody has things going on in their life. And the more people I talk to, I realize that there's a lot more we have in common than we have that is different. Because a lot of people go through the same things, maybe different packaging, but we have some of the same issues we face in life, don't we? Talk about your life. Another thing, this is dangerous. What I'm going to say is going to make somebody mad, I know. Are you ready for it? Stop connecting faith to politics and denominations. Jesus is bigger than politics. Can I get an amen? He is much bigger than our denomination. It's not about being Baptist, okay? He's bigger than all that. He can handle it. He's bigger than those. I'm going to let that one just rest for a while. Let you deal with that. How's that? Be more joyful and less mean. I love that one. Your eternity is secure if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things you don't have to worry about anymore because of what Christ has done in you. Be joyful. And this one is probably my favorite on the list. Live a life of scandalous generosity. Ooh, and not just with your money, with your time, with your gifts. Most say, well, I don't have any money, so I can't be very scandalously generous with that. But those acts of service, those things that God does, being just over to the top sometimes, not to draw attention to yourself, just doing it. And see what God does with that. I'm almost done here. A few more. Be authentic, even when it means being a little bit weird. Just be who you are in Christ Jesus. Let you be that. Being available to people. And this was another good one. Make fewer statements, have more conversations. Bill Fay developed a witnessing program called Share Jesus Without Fear many years ago. It's been around for a long time. If you're not familiar with it, I would encourage you to check it out. It's probably one I use. It's my favorite to get to start. Because the hardest part in sharing your faith is starting the conversation. Would you agree? It doesn't always come up, you know. And he has a great way to start it. And the way it starts the conversation, his approach is, tell me about the most incredible thing that's happened to you in your life. Just asking someone that, and let them talk. And listen, you'll hear all sorts of stuff. It's kind of cool. A lot of times they talk about their kids, or they talk about somewhere they went or something, you know. And it's just to let them talk and listen. And after a while, then you ask the second question. What do you think it takes to become a part, to get to heaven? That's the way, it's one way. What do you think would be the way to do it? And let them talk. Don't interject. You know, God gave you two of these and one of these, right? Listen, let them speak. And then you ask this question, and this is the kicker. This is where we, you know, the linchpin. If what you believed were wrong, would you want to know? And if they say no, that's been really, and then shift it to something else. I don't know, sports, sewing, whatever it is you like to talk about. I don't know. The weather. Shift it. And I would, it almost every time I do that, and I just, you know, okay, and we'll talk about something else. Wait a minute. Let's go back to that question. Why would you ask me that question? And we end up ending the conversation. But once again, see, you're getting permission to share, not just sharing. And then you share the gospel. Whatever way works for you. Whether it's the Romans Road, or you know, you share your testimony in John 3:16, whatever approach you take, use that means to share the gospel. Pretty simple, isn't it? And God is using you as a vessel for his purposes. Because you see, it's really not about what we do. It's about what he's already done. That's why we're here, isn't it? Every one of us are here in this room today, not because of what we do and what we bring to the table as followers of Christ, but because of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives and continues to do in our lives. As he continues to unfold his amazing, perfect will and show us things and do things, and we're like, how did you do that, God? You ever had those moments? Really? I just love what God, I love to see when people get it. Don't you? When the light bulb goes on and they begin to see that God's trying to do something with their life, and it just kind of like, God can use even me? Absolutely. There is not a single person on planet Earth that God cannot use for his glory. We say that, but do we really believe it? Oh, I think we do when we're honest with ourselves. Sometimes we struggle with it. Well, maybe not that person. But God's doing amazing work in your life, in the lives of others in our fellowship. But so often we get caught up in stuff, don't we? It gets in the way. And you know who introduces the stuff that gets in the way of us seeing what God's doing? The same enemy that told Eve, why don't you try this fruit? Go ahead. Just this one. It's not so bad. I know what God told you, but it's not that bad. You'll be okay. And he's trying to trip you up, because what does he want? Anything but others to come to Christ. He does not want people to know the truth. He will do anything he can to distract you from your role as a follower of Christ, from being a vessel for God's purpose, of being used for his glory and allowing him to do what he does through your life. He wants you to do anything else. Draw attention to yourself, draw attention to whatever, focus on other stuff, but don't focus on Jesus, because we don't want others to know. That's his desire. And I really believe that Satan hates this time of the year. Would you agree with me? Because he got fooled. He thought he had won on Friday. He thought he had done it. I have stopped, God. I have done exactly. I'm sure there was a party in hell like nobody's business. The demons were excited, and they were all patting Satan on the back. You did it. You did it, Lucifer. You did it. You stopped God. And then Sunday came. Ooh, had no idea. And I think he's still mad about that. I really do. I think he'll always be mad about it. But what's incredible is that God accomplished God's purposes regardless of what the world looked at and what life looked like. And he can do the same in your life. Did you know that? You ever been in a situation where you think, well, this ain't going to work. There's no hope here. And then God shows up and changes everything. So what do we do with all this? Preacher's been yakking for a long time. It's time for him to be quiet, right? I didn't get an amen on that, Dave. I don't know. But what we have to look at our lives is understand, is one thing is, are we going to let God use us for his purposes? Or are we going to continue to say, God, you know what, that's good and all, but I've got a plan for my life. But God's plan is bigger and greater. And God can do something with your life that will last for eternity. And it may change the trajectory of a person's life forever. Because much like Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus to do all the things he was desiring to do, when he met Jesus, his mission changed, didn't it? His life changed. Everything about him changed. The course that he was on was completely altered. It was never the same after that. And billions of people have come to know the goodness of God's love because of that change. What about you? You're walking your path, and there he is. He's right in the road in front of you. And he's asking you, are you going to follow me? Or are you going to keep playing games? Do you want to be used for my purposes, or do you want to keep just playing games and doing what you want to do? Because for most followers of Jesus Christ in America, that's really what it's about. It's not about, you know, we don't have to face the kind of persecution that our brothers and sisters in China and India and other parts of the world do. But for us, it's just about, do we want to be faithful, or do we want to just continue to kind of play the church game? I don't know. I'm going to let that soak for a minute and let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. Would you pray with me, Father? We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time that we have in the service. It's not just a time just to fill space and kind of give us a nice ending to the day, but Father, it's a time where you're at work and continuing to speak to your people. And I pray, Father, if there is one here today that has not received the life-transforming message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that today would be that day for that individual. If there's others here that are dealing with things, and maybe it's just an issue of surrender, that they don't know, Lord, that you're, you know, they know you're Lord, but they don't really let you be Lord because they like life the way they like it. And trusting you is hard sometimes. That maybe today would be a day they draw a line in the sand and say, Lord, I'm done playing games. I want to follow you completely. Father, I pray this would be a time where those decisions are made, not for us to say, look what happened, but for you to say, look what I've done. And you receive all the glory for everything you do in our lives because it's all about what you're able to accomplish. Use this time in whatever way you desire, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.